Amen. What a great service this morning, Brother Gomez. Thank you so much for that message. I appreciate it so much. And it's great to be in here with just the teenagers and a few adults. Amen. And I love young people. I really, really, really appreciate young people. I love your passion and your energy. And I'm excited about what God has in store for all of you. I was not privileged to go to conferences like this when I was your age. Didn't even know they had conferences like this. I was spending this time every summer as a teenager in football camp and training and all that. And I would much rather be at this than football camp. And but you're blessed. You're blessed. And I'm excited. I look at here and I think of the potential, Brother Wilkerson, that's before us. And I'm just so excited about what God can and will do. And Brother Gomez, thank you so much for that message. We're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Let me just say while you're turning there that I pastor in the capital city of Missouri. Jefferson City. Jefferson City is the capital of Missouri. And I've been there 20 years. And so that means it's one of the 50 most influential cities in America, if you think about it, all right? So you would think that when we have a 4th of July fireworks show, it'd be really good. But I tell you what, the one of the calls last night was two times better than my own capital city's fireworks show. And I think we should give Brother Wilkerson and his staff a big hand for that great fireworks show. That was amazing. Phenomenal. Wow. I mean, they had like three grand finales. I kept thinking, oh, it's over now. And then, man, it's just more boo, 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 boo. I mean, it was just amazing, man. I really enjoyed it. I love the patriotic emphasis. And boy, it's just been good. I sure love and appreciate you young people. I'm just so grateful at all those that have been saved this week. I'm humbled and just thrilled that we got to be a part of something where literally eternity was changed. I love when eternity's changed. Boy, I'm glad for things that are changed here on the planet. I'm thankful for changes here on the planet, like air conditioning. How many love air conditioning? I thank God for air conditioning. How many of you thank God for cell phones? I mean, cell phones are a blessing. How about cars? Man, I'm glad we get to drive instead of ride horses like we did, right? But can I tell you what this conference is about? It's not changing things physically, but changing eternity. Man, that is awesome. That is so exciting, and I bless the Lord for that. And let's go to 2 Samuel 6. Let's stand and stretch our legs. I know we were just standing. Stand one more time. I will not be real long. I want to get right into the message for today. Thank you, Pastor Wilkerson, again for letting me come. And I appreciate so much, Brother Judah and all the fine staff. And again, Brother Gomez, thank you for that message. Boy, that came right from the heart. And the singing group, your testimony, young lady, was a blessing. Wow, that was powerful. Thank God for heaven. What a sweet reunion that'll be someday. I'm so glad that we never say goodbye to loved ones here. We say, see you later. See you later. Amen. 2 Samuel 6, verse 1. I'll give you the title in just a second, but look at verse 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people that went with him from the battle of Judah to bring up from thence. I love this. Let's read the next four words together. Here we go. Ready? The Ark of God. Say it again. Whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the Ark of God upon a, next two words. Say it again. All right, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. And then say, I'm glad I don't look like you. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for the message we just heard. I thank you so much for Brother Gomez and just from his heart, the testimony, how powerful it was. Encourage our hearts this morning in this thought in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to give you four quick statements today. And the first one will be, well, the title is simply this. Be careful of the new card. Be careful of the new card. Today's theme is service. And the word anchored, and I had the privilege of preaching to this incredible crowd Tuesday night on salvation. And I never get tired of preaching about Jesus. And listen, salvation's wonderful. And boy, yesterday the theme was separation. And we heard some great messages on that. And I appreciate Brother Eddie closing out the day yesterday and reminding us about the subject of separation. But listen, we did not just get saved to coast through life. We got saved to get busy for God. And I tell people all the time, man, we got so much to do in such little time to do it. I hate sleep. I think sleep is overrated. We could get so much more done. How many of the people that love sleep? I know some of you love sleep. My wife loves sleep. She thinks we're going to be able to sleep in heaven someday. How many of you like me, you hate sleep? Sleep is a waste of time, all right? It's a waste of time. You could do so much more if you didn't have to sleep, amen? But watch this now. Listen, young people, we got a lot of work to do. Hey, I said we got a lot of work to do. We're here to serve the King. And can I tell you something? People call me pastor or traveling evangelist or youth speaker. Let me tell you what I love to call myself. Here's what Paul said in all the epistles. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. That's the best title we can have. To know that we get to serve the King of Kings today. Boy, what an honor that is. Hey, to serve Jesus is to be better than to be the President of the United States of America. Or to be a king of some country. To say I am serving Jesus. But here's the deal, young people. Listen to me. Stay with me now. You cannot serve him without what this chapter teaches us about. Because eventually you'll wear out. And what I hold in my hand today is an iPhone 8 Plus, right? All right, how many are iPhone people? Raise your hand. All right, how many are Android people? All right. Listen, these things are amazing. I mean, I can literally work from anywhere in this world because of this. I can communicate with my church members and friends from anywhere in this world because of this. But watch this now, watch this. Every one of us knows that this thing has a measurement on top that tells us what the battery power is. Stay with me now. And every single one of you that brought a phone to this conference for this week, by the way, one of the things I love about Camp Brother Wilkerson is, you know, every camp in America that I preach at, there's no cell phone service there. It's like God laid on the hearts of the men 40 years ago before we even had cell phones to buy these camp properties, and they always are at places where there's no cell phone service. I wonder what God's thinking about that. Maybe sometimes this is a hindrance to his revival. But stay with me now. If you brought your power cord with this, because if this phone works its way down to 5% battery power and eventually to 0% power, stay with me now, it is completely useless. It's worthless. Without power, the phone is useless. And may I say to you that at the time of this, in history of Israel's history, at the time of this writing right now, Israel is practically useless. King Saul had not led them like he was supposed to. They were struggling. And the first statement is simply this: the situation of the land. The situation was not good. You see, in the Old Testament, they had this incredible thing called the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of God. And the Ark of the God of the Old Testament is a beautiful type of New Testament power of God. And the last thing Jesus says to the church before he checks out of here and sits at the right hand of the Father and promises to come back and get us someday, he says this: and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, it's great to be saved by the power of God. It's great to be separated by the power of God. But you will never serve him today unless you have the power of God on your life. And I feel like sometimes we only preach the power of God messages to adults and to older people. But do you understand that young people today can have the power of God on your life? You can actually have access to the power of God. And Jesus says, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And if you're saved today, the Holy Ghost is upon us. And the Holy Ghost seals us. And the Holy Ghost keeps us. And if we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we have the Holy Ghost upon us, then guess what? You have access to the power of God today. Let me tell you why we don't have it. Because we let the world teach us how to get their form of the power of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You see, David made a huge mistake this day. David had a good heart. He was sincere. And David said, I'm the king now. It's been a while since he killed a giant. He's well known in the land. The Philistines are afraid of him. Literally, the whole world is afraid of King David. He has shown the strength of God, and he decides to bring the Ark of God or the power of God back to Israel where it belongs when Moses and Aaron gave it to him. And he goes there, and when he finds it, watch this now, it's on a new cart. It's on a new cart. Now watch this. Don't miss this statement. Not everything in the church that's new is bad. But just about everything bad for the church is usually new. Can I tell you something today? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. The old King James Bible still works. And old time Bible preaching still works. And old time religion still works. And dress standards still work. And shouting and praising God still works. And altar calls still work. And preaching repentance and faith still works. And preaching Calvary still works. And I'm telling you, David went to the world, the Philistines, a type of the world, and he made a huge mistake. And he allowed them to teach him how to handle the power of God. Watch what happens, young people. Stay with me now. I'll get to preaching in just a second. Watch us now. Verse number 4, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at all these wonderful places, amen, accompanying the ark of God, and this incredible guy went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel prayed before the Lord a manner of instruments, manners of firwood, even on harps and psalteries and timbrels and cornets and cymbals. And when they were come to Nacre's threshold, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the Bible says in verse 7, watch this, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And watch what the Bible says. And God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Here's what happened. The new cart's coming along. David's excited. They're actually praising God. But the thing hit, the ark hit a pothole. The new cart hit a pothole. And a man walking beside it reached out to touch it so that it would not fall or drop. And as soon as that happened, God struck him dead right there on the spot and he died. And David said, stop! Stop! And they leave the ark there. And it goes to the house of a man by the name of Obed-Edom. And it stays in his house for several months. And David goes back and he scratches his head for sake of time. And the Bible says in verse number 8, David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach on Uzzah. And he called up Perez Uzzah. And the Bible says in verse number 9, and David was afraid of the Lord that day. Let me tell you something, young people. We are living in a generation now where we think we can mishandle the anchor that God has given to us. We can mishandle the power of God. We can let the world teach us about how we're supposed to pray, how we're supposed to sing, how we're supposed to preach, how we're supposed to praise. And watch this now. When I got saved at 18 years old, Brother Wilkerson, I couldn't figure it out. As I was coming into the old time religion, too many people were coming out. Why? Why? Help me now. Listen, we got it good. I know you don't have to be an independent Baptist to go to heaven. There's lots of good people going to go to heaven. You go to heaven through Jesus Christ, not because you're Baptist. Somebody say amen right there. There's no church signs in heaven, but bless God, I'm glad I'm going first class. Amen. And so today, the situation number one was this. They were letting the world teach them how to handle the power of God. And it doesn't work that way. So the Bible tells us in the same chapter, real quickly, stay with me now. It says that David goes back to the book of Numbers and he finds out what God said about how to carry the ark of God. And here's what it is. You see, don't miss this truth now. The new cart was nice and easy. You took the heavy ark, put it on a cart, drag it by animals, and here comes the cart, but that's not what God said to do. In Numbers, he had the sons of Kohath bear it upon their shoulders. In other words, it takes a little bit more work. It takes a little bit more sweat. It's a little bit more uncomfortable, but that's the way God likes it. And let me tell you something, young people. It doesn't matter how you like things or how I like things. We need a revival of finding out what God likes. And if God likes it, then bless God, he wins. He's right, and we are wrong. Somebody say amen right there. And we live in a generation now where we are embracing new cart Christianity when God says it's not going to work. And so number one today, watch out for the situation of the land, because number two, real quickly, I want to stick to the salvation of the anchor, the old salvation. All right, I've already hit on this a couple times. It's been hit a couple times. I'm going to hit it one more time, just a few minutes. Look what the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 9. The Bible says this, and David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? He says, how can I get the power of God? Can I tell you something? We should have been afraid of the Lord too. We should have been terrified of hell. We should have been hopeless and damned. We should be condemned. But thank God, when we ask the question, how can the ark, how can the power of God come to us? God had an answer. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross 2,000 years ago. And he shed his blood. And he lived again 3 days later. And he saves our soul. Thank God, the old time salvation still works. How many got saved this week? Raise your hand. Saved this week? Raise your hand. A young lady came up last night and told me she got saved this week. Raise your hand. All the time. Man, praise God. Woo, and if you're not saved yet, get saved. Hallelujah. All right, so number one, there's a situation. Number two, salvation. Number three, I want you to watch this. The old time religion still has a standard. There's a standard. God has a standard. He has a standard. Look at verse number 12. And it was told King David, the saying, here it is, the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom and jumped down because of the ark of God. So David went up and brought up the ark of God out of the house of Obed-Edom. Look at verse 13. And it was so that when they, what's the next few words? Help me now. Say it again. Help me now. What are the next few words? Bear what? Help me now. What do they do? They carry? Do they put it on the cart? No. I think the first thing Brother David did when he got there, Brother Wilkerson, is he took a sledgehammer and smashed that new cart and said, we're going back to the old time way. And the sons of Kohath picked up that ark and put it on their shoulder because that's God's standard today. I said, that's God's standard. Last night while the fireworks show was going on, there was patriotic music, but then there was also the Olympic theme music. How many heard the Olympic theme songs? I love the Olympics, especially the Summer Olympics. Nobody beats America. Can I get an amen right there? We dominated in 2016, and we'll dominate in 2020. We're so good that other countries send their athletes to train here so they can try to beat us. Listen, we won the most gold medals. Somebody say amen right there. I know all the medals were made in China, but bless God, we still won them all. Somebody say amen right there. Hey, we won the most gold medals. We won the most medals. Hey, there's a standard of being an American. We are the best at everything. Can I tell you something today? One of the reasons we've been so blessed is because God started this country, and America had a high standard, and the high standard of our founding fathers is this: Judeo-Christian values, Judeo-Christian principles. Now watch this. We have a gold standard, and we've been settling for bronze. I don't have time to go there, but 1 Kings chapter 14, Rehoboam, the grandson of David. Stay with me now. He's only two generations removed from King David. He has these golden shields that his own daddy Solomon gave to him. Stay with me now. Y'all doing okay? Stay with me now. And Shishak, the king of Egypt, who's a type of the devil, comes to Israel and steals the golden shields out. And here's what Rehoboam does. He sees the golden shields being taken away, and he looks at him and says, Oh, well, I'm not going to fight for the golden shields. Let's just make brazen shields instead. So the Bible says, read it later, 1 Kings 14. Now stay with me now. Here's what's happened in our churches today. You know that every single day right now, as we speak in 2018, 2 years away from the next Summer Olympics in Tokyo, Japan, right? There's athletes training right now as we speak for that medal. And they wake up every morning and they look at a poster, a picture of the bronze medal and say, I can't wait to win the bronze medal. Is that what they do? Help me, young people. What do they want to win? What do they want to win? Isn't it amazing that 6,000 years later, gold is still valuable? Everybody wants gold. You realize the word gold shows up in Genesis 2, and the last time it shows up in is Revelation chapter 21. I mean, gold is all through the Bible. God has given us a gold standard. God has given us a way to live. God has given us principles to abide by. God has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. And yet today, we've allowed Satan to come into our youth groups, come into our churches, come into our families, come into our homes, and take the golden shield away, and take the power of God away, and we've settled down, and we've quit, and we've backed down. And today we are settling for bronze when God done gave us gold. Somebody say amen right there. Young people, we need a generation of young people that say, hey, I want the gold standard. I take the gold standard. I believe in the gold. I want gold. Devil, and you and your crowd, you can have the silver, you can have the bronze, but I'm going for gold. Salvation is gold. Heaven is gold. Jesus is gold. Church is gold. Old time religion is gold. King James Bible is gold. Praising God is cold. Hey, give me the gold standard. Bless God. Hey, bear it upon your shoulders. Forget that new car Christianity. You want the power of God? You got to plug it in today. We plug in our phones, we never plug ourselves in. Help me now. I'm not against Facebook, I have it. But the problem with many of us today is we're so consumed with Facebook, we're not putting our face in the book. Somebody say amen right there. You know what I've learned? When you get on Facebook, you have to update your status. When you get in the Bible, God updates your status. Somebody say amen right there. We live in this social media generation. I'm not against it. I've got Twitter. I've got Instagram. I got Facebook. You follow me, I'll follow you back. I'm all for that stuff. I praise the Lord for it. But stay with me now. Some of us spend more time on Instagram and social media. I mean, we are consumed with this generation of that stuff. And again, I'm not against it, but I can't believe how people literally live on. I mean, they're addicted to it almost. And yet our Bible collects dust every single day. And we wonder why we can't keep our decisions. We wonder why we can't serve God. Hey, thank God salvation was set up Tuesday night. Brother Shirley talked about how great a God we serve. And yesterday we heard the theme of separation. But today, it's time to get busy. It's time to serve the King. But you can't serve him until you plug into his power. You got to plug into his power.
I want to preach in his power. I want to be a husband to this lady in his power. I want to be a daddy in his power. I want to pastor church in his power. We've got to have the power of God again in America. I said we've got to have the power of God in America again. And you young people can have it. If you're saved, you have access to the power of God. Number one, there's a situation. Number two, the old time salvation still works. Number three, there's a standard, a gold standard God expects us to adhere to. Find number four. There's a shout we got to get back in our churches again. There's a shout we got to get back. Now I want you to look at your Bibles with me in 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm just about through. The Bible says this in verse number 14. But here's what the Bible says, okay? How many of y'all got a King James Bible? Would you raise your Bible today? Amen. I'm just going to show you what the Bible says, okay? I'm going to teach you a little bit of deep truth right here to change your life. Look at verse 14. And David what? David. Say it again. David. He danced. Watch this. Before the Lord with all his might. Preach again, a little nervous now. Oh no, what's he going to talk about dancing? In the Hebrew, that translates as cartwheel. I just want everybody to know that here today. David was doing cartwheels for Jesus, amen. All right? And I might do a few in just a second for Jesus, amen. Now stay with me now. And David did what? But he danced. He didn't dance with some girl. No, he danced what? Say it again. You know what the truth of this is? The truth that's teaching here, we miss the teaching. Oh, he danced. No, the truth is this. David was so excited about what God was doing, he didn't care what anybody thought about him. In fact, I don't have time to point it out, but in a little while, his own wife is going to criticize him. Stay with me now. Watch this now. So David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. And so watch this. So David's all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord was shouting with the sound of the trumpet. Can I say something today? I hope it's okay. Maybe I won't get invited back for saying this, but can I just say it? I love y'all, but this is the truth. Our churches have got to get our shout back. I said we've got to get our shout back. I said we've got to get our shout back. People are flocking to the praise and worship churches where they all get their groove on for Jesus, you know, and all that stuff. I ain't preaching that stuff. But one of the reasons they're going there is because the Baptist churches have died. We've lost our shout. Help me now. I said we've lost our shout. We're not excited anymore about the things of God. We're not excited about what God has done and what he is going to do. We don't anticipate the goodness of God. We don't get excited about the blessings of God. Hey, we are living in a generation now where we're more excited about worldly things than the things of God. I mean, it's insane, young people. Now, you do what your pastor says. If your pastor says it differently than me, he's right and I'm wrong. But I'm okay with teenagers saying amen in church. I am. I am. And I'll go a little step further. I'm okay with women shouting sometimes too. And sometimes people say, you shouldn't do that. Years ago, Brother Wilkerson, I had a woman saying amen in my church. Law. A man came to my office and said, preacher, I don't like her saying amen. I said, I'll make a deal with you. When every man shouts, I'll tell her to be quiet. He's never been back in 20 years. Come on now. Can I tell you something? Heaven's going to be a loud place. I said, heaven's going to be a loud place. Heaven's going to be so loud, my mom and dad won't be deaf no more. Did you hear me? Heaven's going to be so loud, my sister won't be deaf no more. Heaven's going to be so loud, Cooper, you won't have to interpret anymore. Deaf people going to be able to hear Jesus. We're going to sing a song the angels can't sing. We're talking about a place called heaven. Hey, young lady, you gave a testimony. Right now, your daddy's over on the other side. He's walking on streets of gold. He's praising Jesus. Brother Wilkerson, you've got a son. He's been on the other side, and they're waiting for that sweet reunion someday. I got three babies. We've had three miscarriages. They're on the other side. Listen to me. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. Heaven's going to be an awesome place. I said, heaven's going to be an awesome place. And it's time to get excited. I said, it's time to get excited. It's time to shout. It's time to get excited. I said, it's time to get excited. We only go into heaven someday. No more cancer. No more sickness. No more devil. Boy, I like that one. No more devil. I said, no more devil. I said, no more devil. I said, no more devil. Hey, we go into heaven someday. Somebody needs to shout. Shout. I said, shout. This new cart Christianity is all about flesh and getting your groove on for Jesus. But bless God, a born-again Christian who's been baptized in the blood and his name's I feel real good right now. His name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he's never going to touch hell, and he's a child of the King. It's okay to wave that hand. It's okay to wave that hanky. It's okay to shout amen. It's okay to say glory to God. When the man of God preaches about heaven, somebody ought to get happy. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. We live in a day and age where people are too quiet in the church. Hey, hey, let's shout, because the power of God is on us. Grant, come here, buddy. My son turned 13 this past April. The only boy of the bunch is my man. I love my son. I surprised him and took him to a basketball game. His favorite team is who?
OKC.
OKC Thunder, right? So I surprised him. We went to the game. Grant, you can go with me, City. I took him up. We got in a seat there, Brother Wilkerson. And I'm not a big pro sports fan. I love the Florida Gators, college football. Did I say that already this week? Anyway, we're sitting in the arena, and right in front of us, Grant, two ladies in their 60s. We were playing the Warriors that night. Steph Curry wasn't playing because he was hurt again. Mama. Anyway, so the two ladies are sitting there. And me and my son were sitting here. But one of them was a Warriors fan and one of them was a Thunder fan. And every time something good happened to Thunder, that old grandma stood up and went, yeah! And every time something good happened to the Warriors, the other old grandma stood up and went, yeah, 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 got excited. But me and my son, we went the Baptist route. Watch this now. My son and I were sitting by each other the game. Russell Westbrook went in for a sweet dunk. And my son looked at me and said, Father. I said, yes, son. Father, didst thou see that neat shot Russell Westbrook just made? Why, yes, son. That was an impressive shot. He left the earth. The laws of gravity started to pull him down. But before he's pulled down, he slam dunked the ball. That was wonderful, son. Yes, father. I thought it was impressive. Are you impressed? Yes, son, I'm impressed. All right, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Pinkies up. Yeah. Come on now. Come on now. Ted Dahl, come here. Let's show him how we ought to celebrate. Come here, Ted Dahl. I love Brother Ted Dahl. Hey, by the way, while he's out, the Diggy Dolphins dominated the tug of war. Somebody say amen right there. Let's do that chest bump. Ready? Here we go. This is the way we ought to sometimes do in church. Ready? Here we go. Yeah! Come on. No, thank you, Brother Dahl. No, my son, he stood up and went, yeah, he got excited. And can I tell you something? I'm not against that. You want to shout for the Cubs? Help yourself. You want to shout for the Bulls? Help yourself. You want to shout for the Bears? Actually, they've been nothing to shout about for several years now. But anyway, you want to get excited about the Cardinals? You want to get excited about this team and that? Help yourself. But we need a generation of young people that'll get excited about Jesus and get excited about... Hey, I'm talking about getting the fire of God again, the power of God again, the spirit of God again. Hey, praise God. Bring that shout back. Bring that shout back. Bring that shout back. Hey, 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 new card. You can have all you want. The old time way, shout it out a while. I'll close with this thought. But here's what some Christians say. Brother Ant, ooh, I mean, I keep, stay away. Stay away. Brother Andy, that's just not my personality to shout like that. It's just not my personality. Okay. If I get home Friday night and my son, I go to his bedroom, I say, son, your bedroom's not clean. Father, it's not my personality to clean the bedroom. Oh, no, you didn't. We're going to have preaching. Right there in his bedroom, I'll be the preacher, he'll be the congregation, and I might even take an offering. Somebody say amen right there. Don't miss this statement now. Personality is never an excuse for disobedience. Personality is never an excuse for disobedience. The longest book in the Bible is the book of Psalms. And the most commanded, I challenge you, study it. The number one command in the Bible is to praise God. It's the number one command. Nothing else in the Bible is commanded more than praising God. Help me now. And you say, well, that's Old Testament. Okay, how about Romans 15 where the Bible says this? I'm finna get bad to call some right here. The Bible says in Romans 15, Gentiles praise the Lord. Are there any full-blooded Jews in here today? Full-blooded Jews. I love Israel. I love the Jews. We got one back here. Awesome. We got one up there. Where you at, full-blooded Jews? We got one back here. Hey, I love Israel. I thank God for the Jews. I praise the Lord for them. But watch this now. I'm second string to Israel. I'm a Gentile dog. I should not be going to heaven someday. But in Acts chapter 13, here's what the Bible says. After Paul was tired of preaching to the Jews, the Bible says this. He turned to the Gentiles. And the Bible makes this statement, brother. It says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Can I tell you something today? I'm a child of Abraham now. I'm in the lineage of Jesus Christ now. I'm a spiritual Jew. That's where the Lord comes from. Hey, I'm going to heaven someday. Hey, I said, I'm going to heaven someday. It's time for Christians to walk with a skip in their step and walk with some joy on their face and get excited about the things of God. I ain't worried about what this world thinks. I've been saved. I'm going to heaven someday. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Hey, I thank God I'm saved. And it's time. I said, it's time. I said, it's time. It's time to get our shout back. It's time to get our shout back. You see, when David got touched with the power of God, he didn't care what anybody thought. He blessed the Lord. And you know what I've learned? When your praise with God is right, your soul winning gets better. When your praise with God is right, your relationship to your parents gets better. When your praise with God is right, your Bible reading gets better. When your praise with God is right, you'll hate sin like you should. When your praise with God is right, you'll pray better. Listen, it's amazing what a spirit of praise will do to you. This new car Christianity's hijacked it. They got them all excited about the flesh. I ain't excited about my flesh. You know why? My flesh is a mess. There ain't no hope for my flesh. Everything good about Randy Dignan is because the Holy Ghost of God indwells me. Listen, young people. New car Christianity is at every church porch and front porch in America right now. But not mine. Not here, Brother Wilkerson. In fact, I'm getting out the sledgehammer today. I'm busting up that cart. Let's bear it on our shoulders. Let's break a sweat a little bit. Let's bleed a little bit. Knowing we'll be all right. We'll be all right. Today I ask you, you want the new car Christianity? You want the brazen shields? You want to bear it upon your back? Stay with the golden shields. Because when you have the power of God, you'll be able to serve Him. When you have the power of God, you'll be able to serve the King.